Exodus, and we're coming right up into the issue where God's going to be using those 10 miraculous judgments against Pharaoh, against Egypt, and their gods there. And as we're leading up into that thing, I want to remind you all that what we're looking at here is how the Lord's going to be using Moses, his servant Moses. He's going to be using Moses, the one that was the very typology of Jesus Christ in so many ways in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. He's going to be using the man Moses as in typology of the Lord Jesus Christ, leading the nation Israel into their promised possession there. And of course, Israel, we're going to be looking at Israel and be looking for chances and insights to where the nation Israel was to be faithful to the Lord and His revelation as He was given it unto them, and also for the purposes of learning, for the purposes of doctrine, and for reproof and correction. We can be looking for the instances and the experiences when Israel and Moses both at times were not quite so faithful to the things of the Lord. And brethren, the thing I want to the thing that really grabs my attention as we're about to start in on this study is that Moses here and Israel both, you know, as the Lord is finally come to them after 400 years of being absent, of 400 years of letting Israel alone down there in Egypt as they were growing and becoming strong and strengthened, as they remained faithful to the Lord, knowing that at one time He was going to come down there and deliver them because of the promise He had given their forefathers, Abraham himself in Genesis chapter 15, that He would deliver them out of that land that was not theirs and bring them into their own land. You know, as we studied back there in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2, we saw so many illustrations of where Israel and Moses' parents and Moses himself were being so faithful to the things of the Word of the Lord, even to the things that were revealed to them and left for them in the Word of God, in the way that God had left it for them back there in those times, through the signs out there in the heavenly places, through the revelation that God had given them out in the heavenlies with the planets and such. He had not quite started His book. He had not yet started the Bible, the book, you know, but they had a revelation just assured, and it was the job, as we had seen, as the fathers of each of those families, the fathers, there was a doctrine called the patristic doctrine, where the fathers of each family was the ones that were to lead their families and their neighborhoods and their communities into the things of the Lord, to keep them following faithfully the things of the Lord there. We saw so many instances in the very beginning of the book of Exodus, chapter 1 and chapter 2, where they were holding strong and faithful onto those things, and yet by the time you get halfway through chapter 2 of Exodus, on through chapter 3 here, on through the rest of the book of Exodus, of course, we find so many times because of that problem that we all have, that indwelling sin nature. Moses and Israel had fallen short of the things that the Lord had ready for them, and yet we'll look at some of those things, and we'll look how the Lord, it's going to be the Lord that's going to deliver them out, and it's going to be the Lord and His workings that's going to bring them into all their promises one day, even in the dispensation of the ages to come, yet to received that kingdom on the earth that was promised them, even as it is the Lord who has done it all for both you and me, in that He has done all the work. He has done all the sacrifice. It's all in Him, and He's done it all. He's become our propitiatory sacrifice, and all He asks for us to do is to believe in Him, and He will see that we get the promises. Brethren, so here, coming to the Word of God from that point, let me see what I got to do here. Let me start out with this little passage here, Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. The Lord is showing up to Moses here, as He had showed up to Moses and spake out of the burning bush, you know, that typology of the nation Israel, as that bush burned, and yet, or as the flame engulfed that bush, the bush was not burned. Just as the nation Israel is not going to be done away with, even through all the trials and tribulations that they have yet to do in the prophetic program, the nation Israel is going to remain because it's going to be the workings of the Lord to bring them into the kingdom. So as the Lord Jesus Christ starts revealing this revelation to Moses, he comes up to Moses, and as he's seen the nation Israel under affliction underneath Egypt, in verse 9, speaking to Moses, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now," speaking to Moses, "therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people of out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain." Father, once again, we come to you in prayer. We come to you in so much thanksgiving, Father. We come to you in just grand awe as we look at all that you have been doing from the very beginning and all that you have yet planned to do all on out through eternity, Father. And yet for all that you have planned and what you're doing, what your will and what your purpose is, Father, that you would come and be bent and to have to go to such far lengths to offer your grace and mercy to those of the types of me and my brethren here, those of us that have at so many times just been your complete and total enemies, Father, that you have come to us and have been so far that we might have the chance to believe. And then to come from that and then to give us simply through believing, just simply by realizing that what you have given and what you have is all truth, and there's no lying, that what you have is nothing but blessing, that you've given us all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ simply by believing the gospel that Christ Jesus our Lord died on the cross, that he died for our sins, that we might have the blessed righteousness of God in him simply by believing without the works of the law. Father, it's amazing to us, and nobody and nothing other but you and your gracefulness and your kind mercy and your ever-loving, your value and esteem for those creatures which you have created, Father, nobody but you, and of course your Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. There could nobody do have such wonderful abilities and such wonderful characters other than you, Father. And we thank you for all this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I mean, you just get going on that prayer, and it's like, you know, you start looking at all that the Lord has done for us. And all he's been doing from the beginning is just so wonderful. It's just so wondrous to our eyes and to our experience. And isn't it an added blessing that the Lord's given it all to us in one little book? We can read about it. We can study it. We can understand it. We can share it with one another. And we can all be built up and perfected by it. By one book that we can take everywhere we go and measure all things by it. And just live faithfully to that. It's just, who but God could have put so much in one little book, brethren? What a glory to God. So, having that said, we'll go on with the study here. Brethren, God is showing Moses what he's going to do, what he's about to do, how it is that he's going to live up to the covenant promises that he had made with the fathers, you know? And how it is that he, even though Israel keeps failing, and it's been failure after failure, you know, Israel, the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, each one of them, as we had studied in the book of Genesis, each one of them had their problems, you know? Just walking, I mean, even as they were in the midst of receiving so many of the physical blessings that the Lord had promised them, even while they were in the midst of the blessings, you know, they had that flesh. and they had that the warring of the flesh up against the things of the Spirit of the Lord, and they have not received anything of the Spirit of the Lord other than when he would come down and reveal himself to them in particular spurts, but they were in the midst of receiving so many of those physical blessings in their tract as they would try to walk faithful to the things of the Lord. You know, even with that, you know, the flesh just wants to get up there and get in the way and misguide us and trip us up. And of course, it's by our own choices that we get involved in those things, just as it was the Father's choices. And because they had fallen away so many times, time after time, consistently falling away from the blessings that the Lord was ready to deliver unto them. God had seen this, and he says, okay, look, you want to do it your way? Look here. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to leave you to your own. Now, look, you're going to be punished for some of this. And, of course, they went down into Egypt. They spent 400 years down there, and even as they were down there, you know, so many times persecution and oppression can lead us to the point, it can lead man to the point where they no longer so much rely on the things that they're able to do. They look, they're reaching and they're searching and they're grabbing for the help of whoever they can get it from. And of course, in this instance, it's that promise that they had from God from the very beginning. They leaned heavily and faithfully to that promise that God had given the fathers, that he was going to take them out of the oppression that he had prophesied they would one day go into. Here for 400 years, as they were down there in Egypt, under that oppression, they relied heavily on the promises that God had given them in the revelation he had delivered unto their fathers. So finally, as the time came, when God was ready, when the time period came, when it was time for God to deliver them out from under Egypt, you know, we look back there and we see Moses and his family. Moses' parents were most faithful in all the things of the Word of God. And as they looked at their son Moses, they saw this little child that was so strong and so clean and so wonderful in their eyes, you know, and they said, most certainly, you know, as the nation Israel kept looking for this deliverer, they most certainly thought, yes, this is him. And yet, even in their faithfulness, they put Moses in a little bitty boat, you know, and wrapped him up in this thing, even as the ark was formed so many hundreds of years previous to this. They put him in this little ark and set him adrift, knowing that as God had promised him he was going to do, he was certainly able to do it. So then Moses, being brought up in the confines as the Pharaoh's daughter found him in the water, picked him up and raised him for her own, being built up and educated in the things of the world, yet remaining faithful to the things of the Lord. Moses, as he's been built up in the education system of the world, he thought, well, I'll just go out and deliver Israel on my own. I mean, he wasn't looking necessarily for the revelation from the Lord. He had heard what the Lord had promised, what he was going to do with the nation Israel. But he thought, well, I'll just give the Lord a little bit of a hand, didn't he? So he went out there and he left Pharaoh's Pharaoh's kingdom, you know, and all the wonderful physical things he had there, and he went out there amongst his brethren, and he was going to deliver Israel all by himself. And of course, the minute he got into any type of a scrape over there, the first thing he did, the only thing he could do is run, you know, because he didn't have, you know, the assurance of God's Word. He didn't have the strength of God's Word to be able to lean on that, because the Lord had not revealed to any of the nation Israel who he was going to use to deliver that nation out from under Egypt. So then as we come down through the passage, now, here, in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord shows up to Moses and he says, yes, Moses, I'm going to use you. But he says, look here, he says, Moses, realizing his weakness in his flesh and in his abilities and his infirmities, Moses says in verse 11, Exodus 3:11, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel? But here's the answer, brethren. Look here, God's got the answer for him. And he said, certainly, verse 12, I will be with thee. There it is. There's the strength. There's the confidence. There's everything that we now have in the Word of God. Moses was receiving it directly from God himself. God was promising Moses, I'm with you. I'm going to do it. Oh, that would give Moses a reason to be strengthened in his resolve, would it not? Karen, you talked about that confidence, that assurance, that, you know, in that wonderful little poem there, how you have all that in the Lord. Moses, now that the Lord says, I'm going to do it, now Moses could have that very same assurance, couldn't he? Rather than leaning on that arm of his own strength as he did previously. Look here, and Moses, verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. You know, God, Moses, in effect, asked God, he says, look, where am I, you know, when I go up to the nation Israel, and when I go up to the children of Israel and say that, here, we're going to lead this country, and I'm going to lead you out, and that I've met with the God of your fathers, he says, they're going to ask, where's your authority? Where is your authority? Where? How are we to know what you're telling us is true here? And, of course, God says, here it is. Here's my name. Here's the authority in which you're going to be doing these things. I am that I am has sent you. You see, I am that I am. I am, and you fill in the blank. I am the deliverer. I am the redeemer. I am the savior. I am the healer. I am the banner. You know, there he is all in that name. I am. There's the name Jehovah, brethren. There's another place where God reveals his name to Moses. Over here in Exodus chapter 6. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said to him, now look at here, brother, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, and I appear as I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Look here, brother. How many times have we gone through the issue of how we study the Word of God, brother? Here's a wonderful example. How do we study the Word of God? We study it Scripture with Scripture, don't we? We study it verse with verse. We study it spiritual with spiritual. We study it line upon line, precept upon precept, don't we? Brethren, here's a wonderful example. Here, God says in verse 2, I am the Lord. There's his name, I am. I am the Lord, I am. And verse 3, he clarifies it by my name, Jehovah. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah, my name. You see how we study the Word? God gives enlightenment through his verses, through his scripture, studying it spiritual with spiritual. Brethren, we go from here. What, you know, as God reveals his name as Jehovah to the nation Israel, I am the deliverer. You know, I am fill in the blank. Jehovah, the wonderful God, the true God. You know, he uses this name through in different parts of the Bible, again, expounding on this truth of the meaning of his name, and he doesn't. And as we look here at a few of these other passages, keep in mind what God's doing with the nation Israel, even as he first comes unto them here in the book of Exodus, as he first comes unto them and first reveals who he is and what he's going to do. Not what man's going to do, but what God's going to do. And he says, you know, Israel, you get involved with what I'm going to do, and you'll be my people. He says here, look here, go over here to Psalm chapter 83, verse 18. Here's another instance of the name Jehovah. Psalm 83, 18. And thank you so much, Brother Leo and Sister Karen, for posting the verses. That's such a great help for those that sometimes aren't able to follow along so closely with the things I'm saying. What a great help you can be here. Psalm 83. Notice here this psalm as it starts out. 83, verse 1. Keep not thou silent, O God. hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. Here, this is after David had given his psalms unto the Lord. Here's Asaph is giving his psalms. And notice again the context, what they're looking at the Lord for, looking at their God for. Look at, O God, hold not thy peace, be not still, O God. Looking for the deliverance that they're looking for God for here out of the nation. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. And they have said, come, and let us cut them off. Cut off Israel from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And they have consulted together. They that, he says previously, they that have hated thee. He says, they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. They are all at one against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes and Gabal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have hoped with the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as unto Sisera, as to Jabin, and as the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zomna, who said, let us take for ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. You know, he says, make them like the, you know, the stubble before the wind. You know, you've seen the stubble in the wind. The wind just rolls it. It just rolls. It just wheels on down through the desert or down through the fields or down the road. You know, it just rolls as a wheel. The stubble. It just blows in the wind. Just blowing it out of the way. My God, make them as like a wheel, as a stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. You see who the nation's praying to here? Their God, the I Am, the Deliverer, the I Am, the Redeemer, the Lord Jehovah. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Look here, thy name, O Lord. Here it is again. Thy name, O Lord, verse 18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. There it is, brethren. Again, studying Scripture with Scripture. That they might seek thy name, O Lord. You know, O God, O Lord Jehovah. There it is. Jehovah. And so many times through the Scriptures, we see the nation Israel as they, rather than using the name of the Lord because of their fright that they might use it blasphemously, they would use the word that is signified by the word the Lord instead of using the one true name of the Lord, Jehovah, in so many of the instances through the Old Testament. Here we go forward in this. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. But notice how it is that the nation Israel, when they look to the Lord, they look to him as their deliverer, didn't they? They look to him as the one that was going to accomplish for them what they couldn't accomplish for themselves, even against their enemies. Look here at Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And in that day, here, Isaiah is praying, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. There it is. I am your salvation. I am your Savior. I am the Lord Jehovah, my salvation. The Lord, my name, my God. There he is, brethren, for the nation Israel. And then finally, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Look, I can't do any more than to just simply let God express. Excuse me. Now let God express what his name, Jehovah, meant for that nation in the passage, in the context, in the passage. Let God tell you what his name stands for that nation. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1 through, I think it's 1 through 7, just a minute here. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the past of the just. Yea, in the way of judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name. There it is. Our desire is to thy name, thy authority. Who thou art, the most high God, then the one whose name is the Lord, Jehovah, everlasting strength. Do you see how God's word reveals exactly who God is? And you know, brethren, as we look at what these verses are revealing, what the name of the Lord, Jehovah, means to the nation Israel, you know, just think as we're looking at the strength, the deliverer, you know, the upright. You know, we look at that in context of what he's about to do here in the book of Exodus, where he's going to lead the nation Israel out from under Egypt. You just see his name being so profitable. And brethren, here in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, notice, "Thy will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Brother, do you see the issue is what the nation Israel here, even in better in the book of Exodus, the issue is what does the nation Israel have their focus on? What does Moses have their focus on, his focus on, as the Lord is going to deliver them out from under Egypt? Brethren, what do they have their focus on? What do they have their mind on? And we're going to notice what they have their mind on. And it's not going to be on, even while the Lord is in the midst of delivering them out from under Egypt, we're going to see it. They don't have their focus on him. We're going to see that. Look, as we go on in this study. Brethren, there's something I wanted to show you here. These gods of Egypt that the Lord God is going to go up against here in the book of Exodus, he's going to go up there. He's going to have a battle with them because he's going to show them these signs that he's going to give to Israel are going to be for three reasons. They're going to be to show they're going to be the signs to Israel of God's ability, of God's strength. They're going to show the nations, you know, the Gentiles, of the inability of the gods that they're worshiping, and they're going to be prophecies of the judgment to come. You know, in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, and those things that are going on through Hebrews, through Revelations. We're going to see so many of these things that go on in the book of Exodus, chapter 5 through 12 there, are the same things that are going to be going on in the book of Revelation in the time of Jacob's trouble, in the times of prophecy of the dispensation of the ages yet to come. But God is going to show, look at that, there is none like me in all the earth. Go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." There is the Lord God Jehovah. Look here, verse 15 and 16. For now I will stretch out my hand, that the reason the Lord's going to stretch out his hand, the purpose and intent, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. You know, the Lord's going to use Pharaoh. The Lord, and isn't it wonderful how the Lord, as we've seen through the prophecies, through the scriptures, time and time again, God can use the very purposes and intents of the people that are his very enemies. He knows when they're going to be doing and what they're going to be doing and when they're going to be doing. So he can enter into history with his program and with his purposes, and he can use those things specifically to his purpose to teach us, you know, to teach the brethren, not only the brethren in the time period when the events are actually happening, but even so many years later that we can take, and just as Romans chapter 16 verses 26 and 20 tell, we can go back and we can study those things of prophecy because they're meaningful to us, aren't they? Even though those books are not written to us and about us, we can read those things and we can get spiritual knowledge and understanding and wisdom out of those things, even these things that have been done so many hundreds of years previous. Here, in go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. God, Jehovah, is going to do it. God, Jehovah, is the one true God. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. Amen, brethren? Go to Numbers chapter 33, verse 4. Numbers chapter 33, verse 4. Numbers 33, verse 4. Here's a summary of the journeys of the nation Israel as they went through from Egypt to Jordan. You know, brethren, I can just, you know, if I'm wondering what's going on in a passage where I'm about to read a verse, in my authorized King James Bible that was put together by Schofield in the study Bible, I can go to the chapter 33 and I can look at the heading there, and it says the summary of the journeys from Egypt to Jordan. What a great help this study Bible can be at times as we jump from page to page, going from passage to passage, as we jump into an issue here, as we're looking for a specific doctrine in a specific piece of time, a period of time, when the Lord is doing something still with the nation Israel, even within the context of the dispensation of time past, we can see what is the context of what's going on where we're going to take the verse out of. Numbers chapter 33, verse 4. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them, upon their gods also. The Lord executed judgments. There it is. You see there, brother? We jump all the way over here to Numbers, and there's a verse here in this passage that we can use to show what it was that the Lord was doing in Exodus chapter 3 through 12. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11 through 18. Verses 11 through 18. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is here? This is, you want to know what's going on here? Look here at the beginning of chapter 15. Redemption is complete by blood. The power, the song of the redeemed. Here, this is the verse 1 says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. Here he is, Jehovah, the Redeemer. I am the Redeemer. There it is in the passage. Karen and Leo, are you having a hard time hearing me? Oh, they left. Brethren, how am I coming across to so many of you? Welcome, Brother Trent and Brother Romans Don. Leo and Karen, I see you're back in the room. How am I coming across now? Okay? No? Okay? All right. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Leo and Sister Karen, perhaps you might want to take care of something there, brother and sister. Thank you for your answers, y'all. Verse 12, Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led them forth, the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, you know, O Lord, God, Jehovah, our Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountains of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. Brethren, what a glorious doctrine, what a glorious truth being revealed to us here. What the Lord's going to do. You know, the Lord, the I am the Redeemer, right? I am Jehovah. Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. Do you know who the Lord is? Do you know who the God is? Look here. Exodus chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. You see what the Lord's going to show here in the book of Exodus in chapters 5 through 12 as he delivers that nation Israel out from under Egypt, out from all those gods of the world, out from all those gods of the Gentiles, that he is above them all. You see, the Lord God, Jehovah, the I Am, fill in the blank. One other verse here, Joshua chapter 9, verse 9. What a wonderful God. What a powerful God. God is going to get it done. Don't you know it? Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, verse 9. Here there's a league going on with the Gibeonites here in the book of Joshua. Where am I here? Verse 9. And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord, you know, the authority of the Lord, thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. You know, all the world had heard what God did in Egypt when he was above all the gods of the world over there. Brethren, I just want to, at this moment, take a moment and share with you some of the gods that we're going to, that God is going to, the gods of the world, the little g gods of the world, that the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God, the creator of the heavens and earth, went up against in the book of Exodus here, here in these chapters. The gods that he went up to, look at these gods that the one true God had victory over. The names of the gods of Egypt that were being challenged by the plagues. Number one, there's the god of the Nile. Remember when God turned the water into blood? You know, the Nile, the river Nile, down there in Egypt. That was the life source of that nation, Egypt, and of the world powers down there. The god of the Nile River, his name was Osiris. Osiris. Number two, we're going to see how God was going to defeat the frog goddess. You know, you look at some of these gods that the Gentile nations had down there, and you wonder, how can they look at these little stupid creatures and think that and reveal these things as gods, you know? And so this fraud goddess name was Hecht, H-E-K-T, Hecht. She was a fraud goddess. You know, and you know, you wonder, how could they declare this thing to be a fraud? But, you know, back there are so many years back, you know, they look at this thing swimming in the water, you know, this little tadpole. And this little tadpole would change into a frog. And the frog would leap out into the land and go out there and, you know, they'd see this transformation take place in this little creature, and they'd declare, well, that's a god, rather than believe the revelation that God had been giving from the very beginning, that God created the heavens and the earth, and God created this little creature to do what it did. You know, you got this, the third job, God would be the earth job. The earth, little g god, Seb, S-E-B. S-E-B, the earth god. You know, out of the earth came the lice, you know. And I mean, all these gods that the Gentile nations in Egypt had, I mean, these were their gods, and these gods, if they kept going in the way they were going to be nothing but destruction to that nation. The fourth one would be Hadcock. Hadcock, H-A-D-K-O-K. The god Hadcock, the little G-god, would be the wife of Osiris. That would be the flies, you know. You know, you set a little dish of water out, and it becomes stale, and you get these little maggots swimming around in this water. And all of a sudden, before you know it, these maggots turn into flies, and they fly away. You know, another transformation. You know, the Egyptians would look at that thing and say, it's a miracle. You know, it's a god. And yet it was something that the one true God had created to transform that way. Number five, the god Apis. The god Apis, A-P-I-S. The god Apis, that became the sacred bull. The sacred bull, you know, their god, the sacred bull, that couldn't even fight off the mange that the Lord had put on them all through this battle that he had with their gods. Number six, the god Typhon. The god Typhon, T-Y-P-O-N. Number seven, the god Shol, S-H-O-L, the god of the atmosphere. Holy cow. Yeah, the god of what's his name, Harry Carey. Thank you, Reconcile. Very good. The god Shol, S-H-O-L, the god of the atmosphere. You know, the god that brought down the hail and the sleet and the fire onto that world. You know, they're worshiping these gods, these things, and they're going to destroy them. You know, God, again, as we saw, you know, God can use, just as God uses Pharaoh, just as God, let me get my references here, just as God is later on was to use the Assyrian. God later on was to use his very enemies for his own purpose. Here in Exodus chapter 7, God takes up this rod, the rod of his power, and he changes it into a serpent. And God's going to show how he can even use the serpent. You know, the serpent, a typology of Lucifer. He can use him to his own, to the Lord God, the true God, can use all the wiles, all the intelligence, all the education of that Antichrist, of that anointed one. He can use, even with all the power, God uses him as clay, and he can use him to his own purposes, as he will the Assyrian in days to come. Just as he had used Nebuchadnezzar in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 9, my serpent. You know, some of those things that we had looked at last week. God can use these little G-gods. He can use them for his own purposes, just as he uses those people for his purposes, and shows that he is the one true God. You see, number eight God is Sepia, S-E-A-P-I-A, Sepia, which was the God to protect, you know, the God of the locusts. You know, and of course, we know how the Lord used those things again to corrupt the land, and they went in there and they ate up all the crops and all the fruits of the land. And remember when the nation Israel was brought down into Egypt? The reason they were brought down into Egypt was because there was a famine in the land up north of there, in the land that was promised Israel, because Israel had been unfaithful to the things of the Lord. There was a famine up there, and the nation Israel was driven down into Egypt because of the famine, because there was no, because they had lacked, even there was a famine even of the faith to the things of the Lord there. They go down into Egypt down here, and Egypt, all the things that Egypt was so proud of, all the things that they thought they were so powerful in, you know, their crops and their buildings and their land and their, all that they had down there, you know, they attributed all those things to these creatures and these gods, these little g gods. And these little g gods, these things that they were, that they were attributing all their blessings to, were going to turn around and they were going to destroy them. You got number 9, the Ra god, little g god Ra, R-A, the sun god, you know. And by the time you get to the 10th one, you know, you take all their gods and they couldn't save their children. And what was the firstborn? You know, even in the world today, everybody's looking for that firstborn child, you know. And they're always looking for, and we've gone over this before, they look for that first child to be a man child. You know, we went through that doctrine of the man, the doctrine of the son, throughout the Bible so many weeks back. You know, and they're still looking, they look at their children as they would look at them from the point of Israel's viewpoint, looking for the deliverer, and God's not doing that anymore today. So the first child, if it's a man or a woman, either one is simply a pure blessing of the things of the Lord, and yet, of course, we know that any child, whatever it is simply an act of nature, isn't it? As a man and a woman come together, there's many children that are born today out of wedlock. There's no miracle going on there, much less whether it be a man or a woman child. And yet, today, in the Church, the Body of Christ, women have such excellent positions in the Church, the Body of Christ, every bit as excellent and helpful to the things of the Lord as the man does. But because of order, God puts the man as the head of the church. Because the woman has that sin thing in her where she wants to be she's got that little thing where she wants to be over the man. But anyhow, that goes into a big one. But anyhow, do you see what's going on here, brother? God is going to deliver this nation Israel out of Egypt. And he's going to do it by using each and every one of their little g-gods to their own destruction. So here, as we're looking at it, remember how we were looking about as God's revealing himself in revelation, in his name, and in his power, and in his works, and in his plan to this nation Israel, as he's revealing himself. Richie P., I'm going to ask you, okay, when you take and you start pasting the text board up there, that's the same as trying to steal the mic from the speaker. I'm going to ask you once not to do that. That's simply trying to get away with something in here, and I'm going to ask you no more, okay, so that the brethren can post the verses. Okay, well, I'll see. That's it. 2 okays, that's it. No more. All right. So now as we go back to the studies, all right, brethren? where was I here? So the Lord is going to deliver. The Lord is going to deliver that nation, and He comes up and He reveals all the revelation that's in His name and who He is, and that He's going to be the one to deliver them. And here, as we go down through the passage in Exodus chapter 3, Exodus 3:17, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. Verse 19, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. and I will stretch out my hand, the Lord says, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, and I will do in the which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will, notice, give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Notice, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. The Lord Jesus Christ is bringing his nation out of Egypt, but he's got plans for that nation, doesn't he? Just as when they go into the land that's promised them, they're going to have houses that are already built, they're going to have fields that have already been plowed, they're going to have wells that have already been dug, you know, things are already going to be prepared for them from the people that they're going to chase out of there. So the Lord, as he's going to bring that nation out into the wilderness here, he's got a plan that they're going to build this tabernacle out there. And with that plan that he has for them to build the tabernacle, they, you know, as slaves, they just didn't have that many belongings. So the Lord has planned from the very start that the people of the land are going to give them the things that they need, of gold, of silver, of materials that are going to be needed for that tabernacle. They're going to give it to them. And they're just going to give it to them, and it's going to be them. Notice chapter, go to Exodus chapter 25, and we'll just take a look at what they're going to do out there in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 25. Oop, I went a little too far. Exodus chapter 25, and this is after Moses has led the nation out into the wilderness out there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly, which his heart shall, with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light spices, for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. You see, there was a purpose, there was an intent, there was a reason that God was going to have the nation Israel get the materials from the people whom the Lord was going to deliver them out from under. Again, the things that belonged to them, they were simply going to give up to that nation. After all, that nation was to be God's nation, to be God's people, to be his nation of priests and kings and his holy people in the earth. But, you know, there's something else that the nation, you know, here we look at the blessedness as the nation Israel was going to give over the things for the purpose and intent and the will of God, and yet there was something else they were going to do, which was not at all, but in revolt of the things of the Lord, in Exodus chapter 32, look over here what they did with some of those instruments and with some of that gold. Exodus chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, and of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after that he had made it a golden calf, which they said, these be thy little g gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Look at that, will you? Look where Israel got. Brethren, that's what sin will do to you. That's what sin will do to you. Let me ask, didn't catch them. Okay, okay. Thank you, Richie, for posting those verses. Thank you much. So going back here to the beginning of the book of Exodus, you see how those things that God had planned for that nation to take out from under the Gentiles there, that the nation Israel in belief were going to use it to the things to the glory of the Lord, and yet in unbelief they were going to make it to something in such a blasphemous way, going again, lusting after their own purposes and intent. You know, and the issue again, brother, is what they have their mind on, what they have their focus on, what their intent is all about there. So as we look at this issue, again, brother, we run out of time here this afternoon. Again, we'll continue on with this study next week. We're going to see again how it is as the Lord God is working His purpose through that nation Israel to take them out of Egypt. We're going to see how again, time after time, the nation Israel just falls back and falls aside. Let me give you this one verse. Go to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. As the Lord is talking to Moses, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. And God spake unto Moses, and he goes, speaks unto him, verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. Look at here. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearken not unto Moses, notice, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Again, when we study the Word of God, brethren, we study it spiritual with spiritual, word with word, scripture with scripture, life with life. Look, the Lord describes what was Israel's promise, why they hearken not unto Moses, because they hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit. They were depressed. They were just all shaken out. They were just all worn down. Anguish of spirit, what's that? And for cruel bondage. You see where they had their focus on? You see where they had their attention? You see what they had their mind on? The Lord God was down there doing in the midst of them, doing all these things from the strong hand by the rod of the Lord and with the help of Moses, as he used Moses and he did all these mighty miracles. Israel has got their mind, their attention, their focus on the wrong thing. You know, just as in Paul's epistle, Paul teaches us, as the things of the Spirit of God start moving in the believer, The most natural thing to happen is our sin nature rubs up against that thing and it causes heat. And there's a conflict even within our own beings. And that's what's going on down here in Exodus at this moment of time with the nation Israel. It's the same thing that goes on within each and every one of us. The moment we come to be saved and we have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, you don't know all the trouble of sin and what it is in your life till you get the Spirit of the Lord in you. Then that sin nature really tries to rage up there. Then you got the battle going on. So we'll look at some more of that in the studies yet to come in these coming weeks. Brethren, let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you in prayer. We come to you in such thanksgiving. we come to you in such wonder as we're looking at the things you did with the nation Israel back in the dispensation of time past to deliver them into the promises that you had given them, even while we're in the midst of living in and living with the promises, the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, as we're living on the earth, having received all the position that you're ever going to give us, it's ours now, having received that, and yet walking in the trying times on the earth, waiting for that, yet that going to be together with you in the air, the receiving of the full joy and wonder of all the blessings that we have in Christ in heavenly places, the resurrection of these bodies. We praise and thank you for all this in Christ's name, Father. We praise and thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God Jehovah, the one that was Jehovah, became Jesus Christ, and he did all that we need to be done, and simply by believing in him, we have all that is him and you living in us. We praise and thank you all this in Christ's name. Amen.